Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that the Supreme Lord Govinda is always served in his abode by many, many millions of goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Sahasta Satasam Sambhramasavyamanam. These millions and trillions of goddesses of fortune who reside in the Vaikuntha planets are not exactly consorts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but are the wives or the devotees of the Lord, and also engage in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is stated here that in the Vaikuntha planets, the Lord, the houses are made of marble. Similarly, in Brahma Samhita, it is stated that the ground of the Vaikuntha planets is made of touchstone. Thus, there is no need to sweep the stone in Vaikuntha, for there is hardly any dust on it. But still, in order to satisfy the Lord, the ladies there always engage in dusting the marble walls. Why? The reason is that they are eager to achieve the grace of the Lord by doing so. It is also stated here that in Vaikuntha planet, the goddesses of fortune are faultless. Generally, the goddess of fortune does not remain steadily in one place. Her name is Chanchala, which means one who is not steady. We find, therefore, that a man who is very rich may become the poorest of the poor. Another example is Ravana. Ravana took Lakshmi Sita ji in his kingdom. Instead of being happy by the grace of Lakshmi ji, his family and his kingdom were vanquished. Thus, Lakshmi in the house of Ravana is Chanchala, unsteady. Men of Ravana's class want Lakshmi only without her husband, Narayan. Therefore, they become unsteady due to Lakshmiji. Materialistic persons find faults on the part of Lakshmi, but in Vaikuntha, Lakshmi is fixed in service of the Lord. In spite of her being the goddess of fortune, she cannot be happy without the grace of the Lord. Even the goddess of fortune needs the Lord's grace in order to be happy. Yet in the material world, even Brahma, the highest created being, seeks the favor of Lakshmiji for happiness. Okay. O Srimad Bhagavatam, nectar of chant from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures, O merciful, O most prominent transcendental fruit of all Vedas, O you who are enriched with jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions, O you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world, O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees, O Lord, you are the sun which has risen to dissipate the darkness of the age of Kali. You are actually Krishna who has returned amongst us. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss, for your symbols rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are an incarnation of Krishna. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer my respects and obeisance unto you. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of steady saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please do not ever leave me. Please become manifest upon my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. I try my best to speak something because the speaker didn't turn up. In the Gopachampu, it mentions, Prabhupada comments on it in the purport in an indirect way, but in Gopachampu it says that in Vaikuntha planet there's only one goddess of fortune. In Goloka Vrindavan, there's millions. So that's the difference between Vaikuntha and Goloka. And Bhagavad and glories of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12. It gives some understanding of the glories of the Lakshmiji. So let's see. Chapter 12. Lord Shiva said, I will recite the wonderful glories of the 12th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita before you, dear Parvati. In the south, there was an important holy place by the name of Kolhapur, where the temple of the Lord's divine consort Mahalakshmi is situated. Mahalakshmi is continually worshipped by all demigods. That place is a fulfiller of all desires, and Rudra Gaya is also situated there. One day a young prince arrived there. His body was the color of gold. His eyes were very beautiful. His shoulders were very strong, and his chest was broad. His arms were long and strong. When he arrived in Kolhapur, he first went to the lake known as Manakinetitha, where he took baths and offered worship to his ancestors. There he went to the temple of Mahalakshmi, where he offered obeisances and prayed, O Devi, whose heart is full of mercy, who is worshipped throughout the three worlds, and who is the giver of all fortune and mother of creation. All glories unto you, O shelter of all living entities, O fulfiller of all desires, you are the wonderful energy of Ashuta, who is maintaining the three worlds. You are Supreme Goddess, O protector of all devotees. All glories unto you, O Devi. It is you who fulfill the desires of the devotees, and it is you who engages them in the service of Lord Achyuta. You are eternal and the deliverer of all fallen souls. All glories unto you, O Devi, for the welfare or protection of the three worlds. You take on many forms, such as Ambika, Brahmini, Vaishnavi, Maheshwari, Virahari, Mahalakshmi, Narsimhahi, Indriyi, Kumari, Chandrika, Lakshmi, Sarvatri, Chandrikala, Rohini, Parameshwari. All glories unto you, whose glories are limited. Kindly be merciful to me. When Mahalakshmi heard those prayers, she became very pleased and said to the prince, O prince, I am very happy with you. Please request any benediction from me according to your heart's desire. The prince said, O mother of the three worlds, my father, King Bhadranath, was performing the famous sacrifice known as Ashwamedha, but before completing the yajna, he died due to disease. And before I was able to complete the Ashwamedha yajna, someone stole the horse that I had traveled all over the world and had been purified for sacrifice. I sent persons in all directions in search of the horse, but they were unable to find it. Then I took permission from the priest to come and pray for your help. And if you are pleased with me, then kindly let me know how I can get back the horse and complete the horse fire sacrifice and thus fulfill my father's desire. Mahalakshmi said, O noble prince, by the gate of my temple lives a highly elevated brahmana who is known by the name of Siddhi Samadhi. He can fulfill all your desires. When the prince heard these words of Mahalakshmi, he went to the place where Siddhi Samadhi lived and offered obeisances to him. After having offered obeisances, he stood before Siddhi Samadhi silently with folded hands. Siddhi Samadhi then said, you have been sent here by my mother Mahalakshmi, so I will fulfill your desire. Then, chanting some mantra, Siddhi Samadhi brought all the demigods before him. The prince saw that all the demigods were standing before Siddhi Samadhi, awaiting his instruction. Siddhi Samadhi said to those demigods, O Devas, this prince, his horse, which has which he had kept ready for sacrifice, was stolen at night by Lord Indra. Kindly bring the horse back now. Immediately, the demigods brought that horse before him, and Sri Samadhi dismissed them. When the prince saw these wonderful happenings, he fell at the feet of Sri Samadhi and asked him, "How have you attained such power, which I have not seen or heard of anyone else possessing? O great sage, kindly hear my request. My father, King Brihadrath, while beginning the Ashwamedh sacrifice, died unexpectedly, and I kept his body in pure oil, boiled oil. Kindly, if you desire, bring him back to life." Hearing this, Sri Samadhi gave a little chuckle and said, "Let us go to the place where you have kept your father's body." When they reached the place, Sri Samadhi took some water in his hand, and while chanting mantras, he sprinkled water on the head of the dead body of King Brihadrath. As soon as the water touched his body, the king sat up and inquired from Sri Samadhi, "O great devotee, who are you?" The prince immediately informed his father of all the events which had taken place. When the king heard the narrations, he again offered his obeisance to Sri Samadhi and asked him, "What austerities have you performed to attain such divine powers?" Sri Samadhi replied, "Mighty King Priyanath, I daily recite the 12th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita." Hearing these words from the great devotee, the king learned the 12th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita from Sri Samadhi. In the course of time, both the king and his son attained the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Many other persons have achieved the topmost goal, devotion to Lord Krishna's lotus feet, by daily reciting the 12th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So, also the glories of the 18th chapter are there, just to show how Bhagavad Gita is not different from Krishna. It gives special benedictions to anyone who follows the instructions. There was one person, he was reciting the last five chapters of the 18th chapter, and his desire was to become Indra. So at the end of his life, the Vishnu Dutas came and said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to become Indra." So the other Indra got kicked out of his place, and this devotee became Indra. And that Indra, he did a 100 horse, they should do 100 horse sacrifices, Ashwamedh Yajnas, to become Indra. So he went to see Vishnu and said, "What happened? You know, I did 100 sacrifices, Ashwamedh sacrifices, why he's taken over my position?" So Lord Vishnu said, "But he prayed to me. He recited the last 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, I fulfilled his desire." So Indra learned the whole 18th chapter. And the end of his life, the Vishnu just came, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to go back to Vaikuntha." So comparatively showing how the pleasures in Vaikuntha are much higher than the pleasures in the heavenly planets. There was an interesting story. Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj knows more of the details behind the pastime of this Ramdas. I don't know this, but he became Ramdas. But he was worshipping the deities of Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman. And he was a king's minister or something. And the king was a Muslim. So he was taking the money from the king and making a temple for Ram and for the Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman. And once the king found out where the money is going, he put that minister into prison. And the minister was praying to Lord Ram that, why you're punishing me? I made a temple for you. But Lord Ram didn't listen. But then the minister prayed to Sita Devi. And Sita Devi begged Lord Ram, look, you have to help him, he's your devotee. So Lord Ram said, why should I help him? What has he done? He's taken the king's money and he stole it and he's made a temple. But Sita Devi said, he's made a temple to glorify you, you have to help him. So being pensioned by Sita Devi, then Ram and Lakshman went to that Muslim king and they gave the same amount of gold coins what that Ram Das took and said, you free my devotee now. So, showing that ultimately Krishna is he owns everything. Prabhupada himself said, we have over 100 temples, we have over 20 devotees, 100 devotees in these temples. We don't know how our supplies are coming. Devotees are not working, but Krishna is supplying. So that's another example to show how if you depend on Krishna, he looks after you. In the Prabhupada, he speaks of the materialists. But even the materialists, they're being looked after. But because they're not following purity, they're doing impurity by simple activities, then their pious credits get taken away and they suffer. But for the devotee, Krishna gives what the devotee needs. He doesn't give what the devotee wants. So Krishna works like that. He gives what you need for your advancement to coming towards him. There was a story of one, this happened in Mayapur, I think, one Muslim girl, she was blind. And she was getting eyesight done. The doctors couldn't help her get the eyesight back or something. And so then finally the doctor said, you have to pray to Lord Jagannath. He's the one who can help you. So she prayed to Lord Jagannath and the eyesight came back. But that shows ultimately we are not fully independent. Our abilities are coming from Krishna. There was a story about Balaji, one person, he was a pujari there, and he took some gold ornament which was Balaji's. He took something like that and he was going to sell it to make money. And he went far away from the Balaji temple, maybe Bombay or something. He went to one jeweler's and he said, how much would I get for this Lakshmi vase? And the person said, he called the police, he said, I gave this as a donation to Balaji. So you have a choice, either you hand it in or you go to prison. So then he realized a mistake and he handed it in and came back to Balaji. So there was one person, he comes here every so often. He comes every day, I think. Indian man with his wife. Before he used to come along, but anyway. He asked me, his desire was to win a lottery so he can give money to the temple. So I told him, you're poor because you're not doing 64 rounds. Lord Chaitanya said, unless one has 1 lakh names, he's considered poor. So, and then somehow his wife stepped in to save him. she's coming in to take him to the cows and give him guidance on piety, you know, build up his piety. So that's another example to show how to take to this chanting of Hare Krishna is the highest thing. And the famous story of Sanatana Goswami, he had a touchstone, you know, this person who is worshipping Lord Shiva to get the highest benediction. Lord Shiva told him, go to Sanatana Goswami in Vrindavan. So he went, and Sanatana Goswami had his touchstone, he was in a rubbish bin. Well, the rubbish, he kept it there. And this person man said, Lord Shiva sent me to you to get the highest benediction. So he saw his touchstone. Sanatana Goswami said, you can take it. And as he was going, he was wondering, if this is a rubbish bin, then he must have something much more precious. So he came back and he said, if this is the highest thing, why you put it in a rubbish bin? So Sanatana Goswami told him, throw it in the Yamuna. Then he threw it in the Yamuna, then Sanatana Goswami gave him the Maha Mantra. Initiating him into the Maha Mantra. Jai Shri Radha Gokulanda Ki Jai. Yeah, so so Prabhupada explains about Lakshmiji, if she's not used for Krishna's service, she's chanchala, she doesn't stay. And we can see in the modern state of the world how people are misusing Lakshmi for their own sense gratification and how things are breaking down now. People are losing on their piety, they're losing out. So wealth can be, it says, Lakshmi is considered like a good servant, but he can be a bad master also. Because if you get too much of it, then it gets to your head, and then you can't, unless you are very advanced spiritually, it can divert you on the spiritual path. So that there's a pastime of how with Lord Ramachandra, how he had only monkey warriors, and Ramana had all weapons and so many soldiers and. So if someone is supported by the spiritual potency, the internal potency, which is coming from Krishna and his holy name and devotees, then he can win over the external potency. So apparently it may appear like this modern society is striving on modern technology and is going very fast and things are going very quick and all this. But because it's not based on the spiritual potency, it's all based on the external potency, the strength which it is going on will not last long. It will crumble at some point. So as devotees, we have to be more fixed on the spiritual potency. You have to be more internal. Holy name, scriptures, devotees who are endeavoring to become advanced, take their association like that. Then, because with this technology, which is all materialistic, it's like flickering. It won't stay long. It'll vanish at some point. It'll break down. And also the energy which is coming from that is not from the higher planets. The energy is coming from the lower planets. So this is created by the demons. So as devotees, we should not depend on that too much. We should depend on the more natural way of things, not the artificial way of things. And the other thing is, we can see those who are going the materialistic line, they're getting people on cards now. They're trying to get people off cash. And we can see, like, even these big companies like McDonald's and like this, they don't use cash anymore. They're all cards. So my understanding on this is the month of Purushottam is coming in soon. I think in May something. So coming in May. So there could be a polarization coming in. Divine demoniac. So those who follow the spiritual side of things, like use cash, you know, more, they will be more saved. But those who go on the card system, they will fall down with the government. When the government crash, the people who support the government, they will also crash with the government. So like this, there's divine-demoniac separation coming in. So the ultimately the understanding goes like this, that the card system is more impersonal. It's not personal. And even above them who are controlling it, they're persons, but they're doing it to actually manipulate the public to for their own exploitations. Right? Whereas dealing with cash, which is backed up by gold and like that, is more personal relationships. Which is based on also how temples work as well. Like, if you go to Tirupati or all these temples, there's no card system there. It's all cash. You know, like it's just modern governments have done it like that to exploit people. So as devotees, we should be more careful in our dealings with Lakshmi. We should not depend on the caste system too much. Because the month of Purushottam is just around the corner. And if we don't change and we go by these castes, we could get affected by the energy. Yeah, that's okay. But I'm just saying, I agree, but I'm just saying the understanding is as practicing devotees, we have to go to the other system. Yeah, because there's a protest going on in the outside all now. There's a protest happening in the outside public also now. Many people are seeing what the governments are doing and they're saying we should go back to the caste system. They're saying like this. So there's some shops which say we don't accept cards, we accept cash. Just like that. So this is all the way we have to, in order to protect ourselves as devotees, we have to go back to the natural way of things, not the artificial way. The difference Prabhupada says between Vaikuntha and the material world is, in Vaikuntha, everyone has Krishna at the center. In material world, people don't want Krishna center, they want themselves as the center. So we can see how the contrast is there in the material world. Because people don't want Krishna center, they get affected by the modes of nature. They get affected by the three kinds of miseries. And then, because they don't want Krishna, they get cheated by cheaters. So that's the materialist. So as devotees, we have to be more mindful of our practices and anyway, for devotees, because we're using everything for Krishna's service, we don't get karma for it, because it's going for Krishna's pleasure. But we should be also changeable if necessary, you know, in terms of doing what's good for our spiritual protection. If we approach like that, then even the external things fall away, we will not be affected. Any questions or comments?
Thank you, Prabhu, for the class. In the purport, these Lakshmis are described as consorts of the devotees of the Lord.
Consorts, yeah.
Consort meaning they're married to the devotees of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, just wondering, what is the purpose of marriage in the spiritual world? Because in the material world, the idea is that one becomes purified through that process and then, you know, develops love of God, mm-hmm. you know, like that. So, yeah, just wondering your thoughts on marriage in the spiritual world, and how does that serve Krishna or Lord Vishnu?
Well, my understanding on these things is there's no childhood pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. There's no childhood pastimes. Like, Krishna becomes a baby in Boma Vrindavan, right? There's no baby pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna's always like a youth in Goloka Vrindavan, 16-year-old youth having his leelas there. So with these exoteric topics, I can't answer your question in that sense. When you go there, you'll find out. Any other questions or comments? Mataji's got a question.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Goddess of Fortune, is it only about wealth, or, you know, fortune is something more than wealth, isn't it? Or is it only referring to wealth? Is she giving only wealth or other fortunes as well?
Well, it says, I mean, wealth also means blessings of Krishna, and you get all auspiciousness and well-being, and everything comes from good food. That is not just Lakshmi. Because according to this Leela of the 12th chapter, it says Mahalakshmi told that king, that prince, told him, fulfill any desire you want. Right? And then the prince said, I lost my horse, which Indra took, which he didn't know about. And then he said, go to that devotee, Siddhi Samadhi, he can help you. And Siddhi Samadhi summoned a demigod, he got the horse back for the king. And then the prince said, I want my father to become alive again. So then Siddhi Samadhi went, sprinkled water, the king became alive again. So from this Leela, it shows that Lakshmi is not just giving physical wealth, she's giving well-being also.
Thank you.
Sorry, I mean to say, money is just a part of wealth. So wealth includes health, relationships, spirituality, all right? I think that's what Mataji was asking.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, so yeah. Because money is a part of wealth, and wealth includes all the other things also.
Yeah, yeah.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Correct. Anything else? Antaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai.